come to exalt your name, Lord. Lord, we can never repay what you were willing to pay. So, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to get a revelation today of how big you are and what you actually did and what we can do to partner with you. You are deserving of every bit of our attention, our affection, our praise, our very life. And so we come in a spirit of humility. We come in a spirit of humbleness before you. Lord, we want to shout, but we're saving the shout. Because we want to reverence you for what you've done. We come in a fear of reverence of you. There is no one like you. There never was, there never will be. And so open our hearts to receive the word today and open our eyes to see all that you have done. Let us grasp the fullness of it. And let us be those who will not be silent. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. So, today is Palm Sunday, you might have noticed. And so it's the week before Easter. And so many people call this Passion Week. You know that? Because Jesus revealed his passion for us from his entrance to Jerusalem to the suffering he was willing to pay on our behalf. And so Palm Sunday is the beginning of a great 8-day festival. All the Jews would come and they would gather in Jerusalem and they would remember God's deliverance from their ancestors from Egyptian slavery. So Jews all over the world had come to Jerusalem, and they were celebrating, and the city was filled to overflowing, and the people had experienced a lot of pageantry that week. So one of those was Herod Antipas. He was the king ruler of Galilee, and he arrived with great pomp and ceremony, because that is what they were used to. They were used to any king or emperor or royalty entering with all of this pageantry, and he was occupying the palace of his late father, Herod the Great, who had imprisoned and beheaded John the Baptist. And yet he was being celebrated, and the Romans were in charge, and they had influenced many lives, but they had influenced the Jews in every way to torment them, to take away from them what God had brought to rescue them from. And so many of the Jews that day were looking forward to something different. They didn't know how to respond different, but they were looking to someone that was different. And so they were looking and anticipating the man named Jesus that they had heard of that taught in a whole different way, that had acted in a different way. They knew he was a miracle worker. They knew he could change atmospheres. They knew that he could overthrow their enemy. They had suffered at the hand of their enemy so many times, and God had sent them other people to temporarily rescue them over and over and over. And so they're looking for that again, a temporary rescue. But the victory that anybody brought never lasted, because another ruler would rise and another ruler would rise and they would persecute them. And right now they just wanted relief in their moment of time. And that is what many people are looking for today. They just want a temporary relief in this moment of time. They're willing to look for anything or anybody that can bring a temporary relief to them. They're looking for something greater on the inside than they even know, though, because inside, all of the things that they have tried to look to give them relief, has not brought them only temporary relief, not lasting relief. And so here they are, the people of that day, looking like the people of this day, crying out for something that they can't wrap their minds about, crying out for someone that they do not know the power of, crying out because they've heard of someone who has answers, but many times looking for the wrong thing because they're looking in the eyes of the natural. They're not looking in the eyes of what Jesus was actually bringing. And so Jesus' perspective was different. They were looking at the present, but Jesus was looking at their future. Jesus was looking at what was ahead for them and for them and what was eternal. That's what he always did. So though a normal king would ride on a horse that was especially high and especially strong, it looked like a warrior's horse, he would ride to fulfill prophecy. Luke 19, 29. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and where you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? You will say to them, because the Lord has need of it. Because the Lord has need of it. So those who went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner said, well, why are you loosing this colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. He would come entering the gates in humility, riding on this donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He came with a different passion. He didn't come with pride to demand that people would bow down to him. He came with mixed emotions as he entered the city. He came with joy and sadness because he came in humility and he came looking at the future. So when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their clothes on the colt and they sat Jesus on him. He was looking at the bigger picture. Even as they sat him on the donkey, he could look over the horizon and see Calvary, the place of the cross. He knew what it would do, and he knew what the cost would be. Luke tells us, in spite of all of that, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. I want to talk to you about being resolute in your love today. Resolute means firmly determined and unshakable. Say firmly determined and unshakable. Now we know that God has told us that he has shaken everything that can be shaken, right? But what we should not let be shaken is our love for him. What we should not let be shaken is our love for others. We have to be resolute. Like Jesus was resolute. No one and nothing was going to shake him off of paying the price that was needed for every individual. And so he rode towards the gates of the city, and the crowds are all gathering, and they are going to hail him with joy, and they're going to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, because they are looking for another warlord that is going to deliver them, that is going to reestablish the covenant of David the way that they see it. And they want Rome to be dethroned and them to have a ruler again over them. They were eager to put a crown upon his head. But they had done this before. They had prepared the same way with palms saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to Judah Maccabee. He was the one who removed the Hellenists from the Israelites. They had oppressed him, and he restored Jewish worship in the temple in 164 BC. This had happened before in history, and they were repeating the history that they knew. But in their hearts, they had no idea what was really happening, but Jesus did. They're saying Hosanna to the king, but they're saying Hosanna to the king that they desired. The way they saw it, the way they knew the past, the king that they wanted. And Jesus wasn't surprised at this. Jesus knew they would be waving the palm trees and shouting Hosanna. But the way that they were shouting Hosanna, Hosanna also means save us now. Save us right now. They were putting a demand on him. They were putting a demand on him for him to do what they needed him to do for the present moment. And so they were praising him and what they thought they needed most, a deliverer for the moment. They didn't understand the big picture, and Jesus knew what they wanted, and Jesus knew what they were expecting, but he also knew what was ultimately going to happen to him. And he also knew what was going to happen to them along the way. He's flooded in the future. He's looking into the future and he's seeing what is happening. Amongst their joyous cries and proclamations of him as king, he saw them and he heard them screaming, "Save us now." And he looked at the city of Jerusalem, the people, the masses of the people that he had cried over and wept over, the ones that he knew would not follow him. He wept and he wept. Even as he came, he knew what they would be facing in the future. And he knew that there would have a judgment that was going to come against them. He knew Mark 13:2. Jesus said, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." He was looking in the future and he knew that within this generation in 70 AD, that Titus was going to come and he was going to oppress them and he was going to ransack Jerusalem. He was going to destroy the temple. He was going to burn it to the ground and he was going to fulfill that very scripture. And Jesus knew that most of them that were there that day crying Hosanna were going to miss the opportunity because they didn't recognize him as the Christ. Josephus claimed that 1.1 million people were killed during that siege. 1.1 million. And Jesus' heart was burdened. He came resolutely, though. He came resolutely to offer them salvation, not for victory in the natural, but a victory for eternity. He was looking for those who would have ears to hear and respond, fully aware that some of them wouldn't. And he would be rejected of his own. John 1:11 says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. That is why he wept. There's only two times recorded where Jesus wept. One upon Lazarus' death and the second was upon the fact that they would not hear and they would not come to him, his own people. And Jesus knew that he was the God that would come and meet all of their needs. Now, that's probably not the message you were expecting to hear today. But I know God is doing something different in our hearts. And I know he's awakening us to the truth that, and nobody likes to preach this kind of sermon. No one likes to say that there are people who are in darkness that are not going to listen. And they're going to choose to not make it into heaven. Nobody likes that message. Who likes that message? And yet, there are people that are going to go to hell. We know it. People are choosing the world. People are choosing to go against what Jesus came to give. We are choosing kings in our own way. We are allowing ourselves to be taken away and taken aside. You see them every day. Maybe some of them are us. You see them every day choosing other gods beside the one true God. And there's been a lack of understanding of how important the church is at this time. How important our voices are. We can cry Hosanna to our King because we know our King. We can cry to him knowing that he is our Redeemer. We can cry Hosanna to the King and praise him because we know he's our healer. We can cry Hosanna to the King because we know that he has paid the price for every single thing that we could ever need in our life, bringing us life and life more abundantly. And yet, we are flooded with people everywhere around us that have no hope, that are looking for an empty king riding on a big horse who's going to come and rescue them for the moment. It could be the government that they're looking to. It could be a president that they're looking to. It could be another conqueror that they're looking to. But they're missing who came to set them free. Amen. And we are the messengers. We are the messengers, and Jesus was the message. And so he was about ready to give the most visual message of the Father's love, because he was getting ready to lay down his life on purpose, providing everyone the opportunity to receive him as the real Lord that would be throughout eternity Lord, not a temporary fixed. He was coming to give them opportunity, as he has given us, as we should give to others, for a new and better covenant. He was speaking it even then. He was displaying it even then. He is the new and better covenant. He came to fulfill all this scripture. No one else could fulfill the scripture but Jesus Christ. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the only one who was sinless that could pay this price for all of mankind. And we have his life living on the inside of us, his message burning inside of us. He had resolute love, and he came to show us a more excellent way of living. A decision to love no matter how other people respond to it. You know what he was going to face. He knew what he was going to face, but he was resolute in his love. We go out and we try to witness to someone else. We try to be the disciples for someone else. And if they even reject us just a little bit, we back up. We don't push through to that. Resolute love doesn't back up. Resolute love continues. Resolute love doesn't give up. We can't give up on his love for them. But many of us have. And so, but we're getting back. We're getting back to who we are and what he's called us to do. The kind of love that his real disciples will choose to operate in. Listen to what he said as he was teaching his disciples. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Yeah. Do good to those who hate you. What? Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. It was not easy. The people of that day had to be going, are you kidding me? Are you telling me that I have to love the Romans? You know, be like, do I have to love my boss? You know, or do I have to still love my spouse who's ridiculous? Or do I still have to love that person who persecuted me? Do I still have to love? Do I have to go out of my way? Do I have to be kind? Do I have to still continue going after people who have treated me wrong? Well, yes, the Bible says so. It's not easy. It's not the normal way to respond. We want to retaliate, or we want to withdraw. Yes. But Jesus called us to love those that are even hopeless. He called us to love those that are in the darkness, that do dark things. I bet you everyone in here knows somebody that's doing dark things. Unthinkable things. But love is the only thing that will change their eternity. And so we need those that see the power of love as the most important thing. Show the Jesus kind of love, the resolute love, the unshakable love. He was connected to God and he was connected to his heart. And so he loved all the people through the Father. Crowds came from every region. And as he prepared for Passover, he was aware that even the closest to him, one would betray him. But yet he went on. He went on and he focused and he was resolute, because he also saw the eyes of those that would be open to the truth. He saw the lives that are going to be performed and transformed. He saw the ones that would be martyrs for the truth. He saw them laying down their lives, willing to do whatever it took to spread the good news of the gospel. Jesus was our example of how we need to love and how we need to face and how we need to endure. Hebrews 12:2 tells us this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, If he is the author of your faith, that means that at some point in your life, someone brought a message to you. Someone gave you an opportunity. Someone reached out and they told you there was something better for you. Amen? And it touched their heart. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he entered into Jerusalem that day. He knew that he would be hanging on that cross in a few days. And he said, I'm going to do it because I know my eyes are fixed on the ones that say yes. My eyes are fixed on the future of those who will not reject but will accept. I'm going to change them. I'm going to transform them. I'm going to reunite them with the Father, and they are going to be my disciples who will disciple others. And many will come into my Father's kingdom because of my sacrifice. And Jesus resolutely loved on purpose. He loved through it all. He loved them when they beat them. He loved them when they put a crown of thorns upon his head. He loved them. He loved his disciples who ran away. He continued to love because he knew we would need him as an example for how we're supposed to love. And so he was the author, and he's also the perfecter of our faith. We have to just keep looking at him. We have to just keep looking at him. We have to stay focused on him. If he endured the cross, we can do the same. Verse 3 says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, today we have the same opportunity. I think a lot of people are growing weary and losing heart because they're not keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus. If we fix it on what we think he's going to bring us, we are just like those in Jerusalem that day. If we're fixing our eyes on Jesus because he is going to give us everything that we ask him for, and it's for selfish motives, then we have just become that crowd singing Hosanna to the King I want instead of Hosanna to the King I need. Hosanna to the King that deserves all my praise. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the one who died for me. And so we find ourselves in the presence of God today. It is only the presence that gives us the experience that we need to do what he's called us to do. If we sit in his presence and stay, if we just come for what we need instead of honoring him for who he is, we miss the entire message of the King. You know what brings his presence? Gratefulness. We are the people that may have gone through many challenges, but we're also the people that know his salvation. We are the ones who know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that on our worst day, it's still our best day if we have Jesus. We know him as the healer of our broken hearts. In his presence, we can obtain and contain more of his love. He is the one that helps us through everything that we ever face. He didn't say that we wouldn't face anything. He said we would face opposition. He said we would have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer anyway, because I have overcome the world. Remember that scripture that scared a lot of his people away from him when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and all the people scattered? remember that. Because what was he saying? He was talking so high that they were only thinking in low terms and they just couldn't handle the depth of what he's saying. And sometimes in his presence, he will say something to us that we know will cost us something we don't understand. He's asking us to enjoin him with some suffering of the cross, of choosing the cross over comfortable, of obeying the Father in spite of what it may cost you, of doing that which seems impossible, knowing, however, that he is the God of the impossible. And in Mark 14, 22, we find out why he really did it. Why did he say, eat my flesh and drink my blood? Because it was just a few days later, he'd be sitting with his disciples and he would be prepared and preparing for the Passover meal. And he said to them, as he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, he gave it to him and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Oh, is that what he meant back then? That's what he meant. He said, drink this cup because it's my blood that has been shed for many. He's tying now together that which he spoke out that scattered his disciples. And now he would communicate it to his disciples. And he said, remember me every time you take this. And what he's saying to them is, remember when you drink this, remember when you eat this, that this is who I am. Remember what I've done for you. And I am in you, and you are in me, and we are one through the Father. So think it not strange when others revile you. Think it not strange if you face rejection. Think it not strange if life is not a bowl of cherries, as you've been told. Think it not strange that when you choose Jesus, there may be some opposition. And I'm not just talking about in the natural. I saw somebody, it was T.D. Jakes, interviewing, really famous. Thank you, Denzel Washington. And he was saying, I understand that at the great offense that was on, thank you, the Oscars. You see, this is not in my notes. I would have wrote all this down if I would have known. Okay, so what happened? What happened was the comedian, Chris, thanks. said something that was offensive to Will Smith's wife. And so he lost his mind and got up and smacked him in the face. It was called the slap that went across the world. And so nobody could figure this out. And so T.D. Jakes was interviewing Denzel because he knew Denzel ran to the scene and began to say, and he said, well, what did you say to him? And he said, well, I'm not going to tell you everything I said to Will, but I will tell you this, is that I knew that whatever was happening, prayer was the only answer. He said, if you're doing nothing for Jesus, then nothing will cause the enemy to put you in his scope. But when you start doing something for Jesus, which Will Smith had started to come to the Lord, then Satan put his scope on him and said, let me rile him up in front of the whole world. Let me destroy everything he stands for. Let me take away his money. Let me take away his faith. Do you think you're any different than any other Christian? Do you think that when Satan knows the difference between Hosanna to the king I want or Hosanna to the King of Kings? And when he sees the change of your heart and the change of your verbiage and the change of your reverence before him, when he sees your willingness to do whatever it takes to grab a hold of somebody in darkness and bring them into his marvelous light, when he sees that fire in your eyes and he knows that you are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, oh yeah, he will shoot at you. He will find what is the weakest point of your life, and he will beat on it, and he will try to get you, if he can get you to fall for it. Everybody says they've never seen him like that before. They never saw anything like that inside of Will Smith before. They didn't know he was possible of acting like that. Have you ever done anything that afterwards you went, how in the world could I have ever done that? That is so not like me. That's because it's not like the redeemed you. It's like the one that is under attack you. It's like the one that he is trying to get to do something you would never do so he can accuse you for doing what you would never do without his help. And then he will condemn you for it because that is what he does. And yet Jesus said, I have come to love you and give you a new and better covenant every time you drink this, every time you partake of this. Remember the price I paid and remember there's a price to pay. I am in you, you are in me. There's the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say you were not going to face anything. I hate to break the news to you because we are a covenant aware people. We know, listen, all the other scriptures are true too. He came to give you life and he came to give you abundant life. He came to give you prosperity, that's true, so that you can give to other people, not to consume it on your own lust. He came to heal you. He came to deliver you. He came to set you free. He came to empower you. He came to give you everything that you would need to represent him properly on the earth because he knew you would change. You were carrying other people's lives on the inside of you because you belong to him and they want to belong to him and don't know how to. And so Jesus is looking for the people who are saying, wow, I don't know why I'm living this kind of life. I know there's something better. I don't know how I ever allowed that to happen. I don't know why these other things are in my life. I can't seem to break free of. I feel like I'm in bondage. I feel like I am trapped. I feel like I can't live a different kind of life. But Jesus said you can. And Jesus hung on the cross and died and rose again so that you can. That's the message that he wanted to burn inside of our heart. Hanging openly on a cross. Taking all of the sins of the world on his back. So that we could be free to tell someone else and to lead them to him. He's not a selfish God. He's not wanting people to come to him so that he could be proud of himself. He's trying to salvage them, to change their lives, to call them close to his heart, to enjoy the best thing ever offered, and that is the love of God. And so, yes, we're going to have some tribulations, but we're never alone in our tribulations. He has overcome them. Yes, we're going to have challenges, but we're never alone through the challenges. Our lives are not ordinary lives. Do you know your life is not an ordinary life once you've come to know the Savior? You are empowered. You're extraordinary. You have extraordinary power because you have extraordinary presence. What if, in a moment of time, you didn't have access to the presence of God anymore? Yeah, do you hear that? You know why there's groans in the audience? Because we know we can't live without his presence. We cannot abide without his presence. We don't know joy without his presence. We don't know true love without his presence. We can't move forward without his presence. His presence is the best thing that ever happened to us because his presence is what drew you to him. And his presence is what keeps you near. And so what if we didn't have his presence in a moment of time? What if he was no longer available to us? What if we didn't know that we can live an extraordinary life with extraordinary? What if we don't do what he called us to do? What if we are walking down the street and we keep going by the crowds and we don't care? Jesus is setting his eyes on these people and he's weeping while he is going into Jerusalem, and he's not weeping for what is going to happen to him on the cross. He's resolute in that love. But he's weeping because not everyone will accept him. And yet he said, I'll do it anyway for the one. If there was just one of them that would follow him, he would die on the cross. If you live your entire life and only one person comes to true salvation and becomes a true follower of Jesus and joining themselves to his heart and becoming one with God, are they worth living in eternity without the presence of God? Even for the one. And that's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking that for us, because we are the church, the worldwide church, a part of the worldwide church. We are part of the answer. We are the answer. I want Jesus to rejoice because there's a bunch of people in a little town called Davie who heard his message and responded to it and were resolute in their determination to carry his message, the life that he offers, and spread it around. When we come to church, we should come to church expecting to find each other overflowing with testimonies of what God has done for you and what you've been able to do for others throughout the week. Amen? Okay, so how many of you went out yesterday? Please stand to your feet. Ha. You see this? Amen. All right. These are the people who heard the message and responded. Now, listen, if you didn't go yesterday, you always have opportunity. The point of that is, this is they who understood the message of needing to be a disciple to disciple others and went out. And so I'm going to ask a few of you to come up and give your testimony. And so, Mariela, you can start because you got the mic in your hand.
Hello, everyone. So we went out to Steak and Shake area down by Griffin Sheridan, Sterling. Janice and JT were praying for a young girl, and I was looking for them. So they were praying for a young girl out of their car, and then they finished praying. The young girl went in the car, but in that interim time frame, the mother, which was on the driver's seat, came out of the car and said, "Wait, I need prayer too."
Okay,
and I came in like into that spot because they were already attending to the young lady. And I was like, okay, so we'll pray for you. What's your name? And, you know, I introduced myself.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to. So what if they weren't there? So what about that person who needed prayer, who was taking the opportunity, but no one was there in that parking lot? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So it was like, it was a delayed moment, and that's true. So she could have just stayed in that car because it was about her daughter. She cared for her daughter more than even herself, but then she recognized that, wait, something is going on with me that I want to get fixed. I want to get help with. I want to move forward with. And so there was a lot going on. I ended up really ministering to her deeply, almost doing a one-on-one truth, because one of her deepest down stuff is that her sister died 13 years ago, sudden, in labor. Survived. She did not. And I think 4 kids left behind. So her sister ended up adopting. There's a lot going on. And so she had sorrow and loss still in bondage. And she's like, I don't want it anymore. So there was a lot more. But God did a healing and she rededicated her life. So that was really awesome in the process.
No, keep going.
Oh, so.
I wasn't trying to shut you down.
Okay.
So when you saw what she was going through and she opened up to you, why do you think she opened up to you?
Honestly, I mean, we were there on a mission. We were there to love. And she felt his presence. She recognized that there... There it goes. She recognized that people took the time.
Yeah.
For her daughter. I mean, you two took the time. I mean, I came a little afterwards, and she's like, wait, this is real deal love. This is raw. This is like, they're hanging out on a Saturday. I mean, instead of being in Target and shopping or whatever, okay, and stopping for the one, stopping for us, and I'm going to take the moment and take advantage. So it was very, very important to be there, and it's because of his presence led her to want some.
And so what happened to your heart when she started opening up to you?
Actually, I resonated. So it was a perfect fit for me to minister to her because I've had experiences. My mom, you know, died. My aunt died a year later suddenly. It was a shocker. So I was able to relate to her and said, look, I totally understand you. I feel you. I know where you're at. I know what it feels like, and it sucks. Let's just be real. It sucks, and it takes a process and time, but God didn't design her to be in suffering and in sorrow and in loss for 13 years plus later. This is a new day. It's a fresh start, and let's just let it go to Jesus. I walked her up to the altar.
You did.
She walked her sister up to the altar.
They don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so Pastor Dawn has taught us to literally walk our burdens and our pain and our suffering to the altar.
By picturing it.
By picturing it in your mind.
In your mind.
So that you'll be able to actually freely let go. But I got a picture of Jesus. So she carried her sister and gave her sister into Jesus' arms. And she had her eyes closed. Her tears were like crocodile tears down. And she saw, she was able to carry her sister and the love that she has. Not that she's letting her go, because she will always be in her heart. And give her to Jesus.
The pain of it.
Eye to eye. Because it was important for her to know that he's taking care of her.
Was it worth it,
Mom? It was worth it.
Janice. I just think we all need to realize this was in the Target parking lot. All that happened in the Target parking lot.
Thank you, my God. You see?
And I am going to add one more thing. So you have to recognize it is in the Target parking lot. I had people left from the parking, the parked car next to me gone, and then another person came in, and then other people. So this is the important part. I wasn't distracted. She needed what she needed, and nothing was going to stop what she needed to get. Cars going, people passing, so much distraction, and still it happened.
So here's what I have to say about that. How many of you go to Target ever? How many of you go to Publix ever? How many of you have ever stood in a parking lot? I mean, do you ever go to any parking lots ever? I feel is this reminiscent of some other thing? If you are ever in a parking lot and the cross has encountered your heart, you should be aware that the cross can encounter theirs too. That there is a risen Savior that is living on the inside of you so that they can rise up and get away from the darkness that they're held captive in. That woman came to a Target parking lot having no idea that that would be her day of freedom from the pain and the loss that she suffered. But look at how God set up a divine appointment and had Madi right in the place because Madi could relate exactly to her loss. You see, our God is very thorough. And he is trying to thoroughly activate us to be those that will help others. Amen? Okay, where's John Taylor? Come here. Tell us what happened with you. Jesus loves you. That's a great shirt.
About the same story, we were actually walking past, and then I just want to give an example of the impression of the Holy Spirit is very small sometimes.
Yes.
Because we went past, and then we were like, I think we should go back to where we just came from. And when we went back to where we came from, that's when it all happened, and that's where even Madi had the opportunity.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
To come to that point, but
is there something else you want me to share?
So how do you think this could be a discipling moment? What you did yesterday?
Well, it's a discipling moment for everybody we spoke with because they realize that Jesus is real and that he's living on the inside of us and we can share him with other people. So we must have spoke with a number of people, prayed with a number of people, and they all, whatever they were going through at that time, like before going into it, I realized that in the Word of God, it says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word
yes.
than our circumstances. So whatever they're going through at that time, the answer is the blood of Jesus that's speaking a better word for their report in that moment. And what we did is we shared that with each individual that we came to. We invited God into their situation, and we said, hey,
there you go.
This is real, and God loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants to make a difference for you today.
Amen.
Okay, so in the Target parking lot, same Target parking lot, there was a man who was just shopping, and he came out, and he was getting onto his bike. And so me and Janice approached him, and we were like just asking him straight up, hey, is there anything that we could pray with you about? And the typical answer is like, yeah, it's a nice day, you know. But this guy was like, yeah, I really want you to pray with me. And he had, like everyone, we've been going through things in the last couple of years just because life is difficult for everyone at this time.
Yeah.
And this man really wanted prayer, and we were able to share the love of God with him and give him an idea that God has a good future for him, that he created him with intentions of giving him a joyful life, not where he can even imagine how fun and joyful it could be.
Amen.
But God has given us the ability to love him and enjoy life with him. Yeah.
And how did you feel after you were able to do that?
Oh, it makes you feel happy. When you are sharing the love of Jesus, it really does something. It changes the inside of your, like, the endorphins are flowing.
No, scientifically, Jesus endorphins.
For real, yeah.
I like it.
But, yeah, it gives you joy
it
to
does.
Share the love of Jesus.
Yes, because he counted you all joy, and he'll give you joy when you do the same.
Yes.
Amen?
I agree.
Thank you, John T. Okay, let's see. Who else? Ingrid Ford. You know these people didn't know. Come up here, little darling.
Hi.
Hi.
So a funny thing happened. The Bible says a child...
You got to put your mic closer.
A child can lead the way.
Yes.
And I was ministering to a family, a dad with two girls. They were about 5 and 7 years old. And I was inviting them, and I gave them the invitation. And the 5-year-old says to me, I'm working on a business.
What?
And she runs to inside the
goodness,
car. So God used her to minister to me while I was ministering to them.
How funny.
She goes into her car. She takes out her book bag with a lot of paper. She's like, I'm working on a business, and I'm making paper cards and paper planes and stuff, and I'm trying to sell these things to make some money to do some things that she's trying to do. And I say, well, how much is this going to cost me? And she said $2. So she sold me some paper plane or something for $2. And,
oh my God,
you know, I had a business plan that I had, you know, shelved. And when I walked away, Holy Spirit is like, if a 5-year-old can be dusting off her business plan, then you need to pick up your plan that I gave you years ago. So,
amen. Okay. And the Word of God says, give, and it shall be given to you. Amen? Okay, Susie, come up. Now, Susie did something a little bit extra and I like this. She tore down defenses, because who did you take with you yesterday in...
Oh, you mean Nevaeh and...
PETA.
Oh, my dog, PETA. I'm like, what the...
They didn't know. Okay. So PETA is Susie's dog. How many of you know about PETA? Because we've prayed for PETA on many occasions. Okay, PETA is a really cute little dog. And you know, she's really good for a witnessing tool.
She really is. Because
you know what people like?
Little dogs.
Little dogs. They're so cute. They're like little babies are also cute. And so she went out with her little dog, and the little dog destroys boundaries. I mean, some people don't like little dogs. I don't know who you are. I'll deliver you of that. But anyway, so tell us what you encountered and one that was really special to your heart.
One lady that I met, she was coming out of TJ Maxx, and what I liked about her is when I was speaking to her and I asked her if she would had a place to go to Easter, and she said to me, well, I go with my sister in North West Palm Beach, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I would like to invite you to come to my church. Would you like to come? And she's like, well, okay. And she was not really forthcoming, but she wasn't closed up. But then all of a sudden, we started talking, and I started talking to her about God. She opened up. And then she said, oh, I don't need any prayer. And then within 2 minutes, she started crying. And you know,
amazing,
when someone
right?
starts crying, that means God's working on
yes.
them. And it was, I just saw the transition from her, like, not really wanting to talk to just wanting to pour her heart out and just receive God. And she was this close. She was so close. And I just looked at her and I went, you know, I think people make it so hard to come to God. He made it so easy for us so that it wouldn't be hard for us. All we have to do is open up our heart. And I took my sweatshirt and I said, do me a favor, grab the arm of the sweatshirt, I'll grab the other. And what happens is that you're here and I'll be God. And Jesus came to bring us both together. And I said, pull on yours. I said, when you need God, just tug. He's right there. And when God needs you, he's going to tug on you. So now you guys are together and you're a team. And she
Amen.
Went, I like that.
Amen.
And so it's not hard, guys. It's just, if you come with God, and not only that, PETA just made it open door, because people yes. just look at her and go, oh, how cute.
Right.
She made it easy for me.
And so people will relate to whatever you're related to. So be who you are. I love that she used the sweatshirt because, and you know, the point of it was for us to be able to go out and be among people with the intentions of God to bust open their barriers so that we could not just get them to say a prayer. We want them to feel and experience God's presence because his presence will draw them back to you. So if they gave them a Liberty card, they know where to find you. They know where you go to church. They know that you loved God enough and believed in God enough at Liberty Life Center that they could come there and find you and find him. Amen? Okay, let's see. Frank. One good testimony, Frank.
Just one.
We know Frank, right?
Well, everybody else was standing out there with his cards, but that's not what I usually do when I go to... So I actually sat down and walked up and talked to people. And I guess the most interesting one was one couple that I talked to. That he was actually just came from Ukraine. They were kind of together. And I was sitting there talking to both of them.
How'd he get in? That's what I want to know.
And so I evangelized. That's what I was there for to me. I'm out there to find out whether or not they know Jesus. And if not, to introduce him. So they didn't know. So I got to introduce them to Jesus, and I also got to pray with them, and they both accepted the Lord and prayed the sinner's prayer, and so they're all everything. But then what was really strange out of this whole thing was this. I said, God, this had to have been a God appointment in some ways, because he was an engineer, and he's actually...
Oh, wow. And guess what Frank is? An engineer. Okay, go ahead.
And I work with a lot of people that do inspection, especially in buildings and stuff like that these days. We do the testing on the stuff that they pull out. And he doesn't have a job here, so I'm sitting there looking. I said, well, I know some people that might be looking for somebody for you, like you. I said, what I'll do is I'll sit down and see if I can't make a couple phone calls on Monday, and maybe I can get you a job. So I've done that before, so I'm sitting down there. I thought I would do that. But then his wife said, I asked his wife, or his, I said, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend, I don't know. But he said to her, I said, what do you do? She said, oh, I work for a forensic engineering firm.
I went, my gosh.
You, what?
Are you serious?
Yes. And I'd never heard of the firm she works for. I said,
guess what
oh.
Frank does? Yeah.
So I sat down there and talked to her for a few minutes, and I didn't have a business card. Of all times, not to have a business card.
Yes.
I didn't have a business card.
I bet you had a Liberty card, though, didn't you?
I had a Liberty card, but I also gave them my phone number, and I gave them an invitation to come next week, too.
Yes.
So I gave both of one of them, too. So I sat down there at any rate, and it just was an interesting thing to be.
Unbelievable.
The two of them together, you know, and maybe I can help him get him a job, which would be a great thing, too. And hopefully they'll come to church.
Amen.
And then also, they don't live too far from here, so hopefully they will come.
And, because we don't live ordinary lives. We live extraordinary lives with extraordinary power and extraordinary presence.
Well, it was just too much to seem to think it was just an accident.
Well, it couldn't have been an accident, Frank.
Not to have all that take place. So it was... And the other thing
is
to me, is it's been a long time since I've been out. I've witnessed to a lot of people all the time. It was a long time since I've been out, and I really enjoyed it.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me tell you what else was happening yesterday. Did you notice how pretty it looked up front? Isn't that nice? You know why? Because when everybody does their part, things are better. And so Jeff and Susan and Herbert were out picking up weeds and planting flowers and buying a potted plant so that when you come to Liberty Life Center, it doesn't look like the rest of the building in the warehouses. Amen? And did it make a difference to you? And, okay, guess what else was happening? Leslie and Susan were home doing this, cutting them off so that we would have plenty of palm fronds because everybody does their part. And when everybody does their part, did you see that there was a little bit of difference today in our worship of Hosanna when we had actual palm fronds doing it? Because we are living the Bible and making it come alive. And every time we do something, what about Mariel at the front with the palm trees and the people that came up with it? Come on now. This is showing people how to express their worship in a different way. This is what we are doing. We have to be resolute that we are going to live our life with on purpose days. On purpose days. We're going to live our life on purpose with the purposes of God. Remembering that on the worst day of our life, because we know Jesus, it is still the best day of our life. We need to introduce people to that because they don't know. How could they hear without a preacher? And people go, well, what's my title? Minister of God. You want to be a minister? Be a minister of God everywhere you are. Have the title. He enjoined you to himself. You are called to be a disciple of Christ and to minister to other people. So words that are flowing from experience with a real personal Savior and King are going to resonate with other people. Look at the divine appointments that he made. Why? Because Liberty Life Center just said, you know what? We hear the Great Commission calling. We have to change the way we think. We got to get out of the box. We've got to go do something different. And look at how many lives were touched in one afternoon for a couple hours. One afternoon for a couple hours. We'll only know in eternity some of those. Some of them are going to come right here and get discipled. Amen? And then last night, what did we do? Ladies. We went and played bunco. What's bunco? Would you like to know? Because I didn't know either. It was fun. It was a bunch of people in the building in Davie, which is where we're called, with us going to reach people where they are, not to give them an altar call. We went there to enjoin our lives with theirs so that we could begin to build relationship with them, because when they know that there are people among them that have something different in their countenance, something different in the way they do things, they'll look for the ones who have the answers. And guess who has the answers? We do, because we know Jesus, right? And we're not afraid to share him. So there was, I don't know, where'd Susan go? She gone. How many were there? Do you know, Cindy? How much? 14. We had 14 ladies invading the center of the town of Davie, playing a bunco game, which is this. You roll dice and you get ones, and you get, then you roll them and you get twos, and you, how, who, oh my gosh. And to, oh no, it was fun. Jessica, was it fun? She had so much fun. Oh, Miss Mariella. Oh my goodness. Okay, so Mariella, she was just anointed all day, I guess, because she won, but if you get, what is it, if you roll, she got four bunkos, so if you get, you only have three dice, so if you get three dice of a kind on that round, you get bunko, and it gives you how many points? Do you remember? 21 more points. So therefore, she won the whole night. So she got gifts and all kinds of stuff, and they're like, who is that girl? But she was very gracious. And so everybody that went had fun, and they were glad that we went. And so what are we doing? Are we going to go actually roll dice? Well, yeah, we can have fun too. No one said you had to be a miserable Christian. You could go enjoy yourself eating somebody else's food, strawberry shortcake with whipped cream. Okay, so, you know, I was doing keto until they brought out that. And then that was over in a moment of time because they know how to make strawberry shortcake. And so we were out investing our lives to meet other people with the mindset of I'm taking opportunities to actually be an authentic person who cares about somebody else I might meet, who has need of what I have. You see, it's not about a sales job. We're not going out to sell Jesus. We're going out there to be him to somebody, to carry his presence so that they can come. It's not rocket science. It is, however, forensic science, evidently. It is the power of the Holy Ghost bringing you to the right person at the right time. But if you never make opportunity for it, you're never going to do it. If you don't take the time to join yourself to the opportunity, you're going to stay in your house and watch the, I can't even say that word now because I think it would be offensive, to watch the, how about this? Watch the stupid tube. That's a good word for the TV. Watch the stupid tube fill you full of things that are, and lies that aren't even real and waste hours of your life. I don't know. Is that worth it? I mean, I'm not against downtime. God knows I need some too. I'm not against, you know, watching something and I like laughter. I also like adventure movies. I do not like foul language. I do not like sexual perversion. I do not enjoy any of that. So I'm looking for an app. Yes. But Jesus is their answer and Jesus is our answer. If we give more of our life to him and our hearts to him, we're going to change lives. Amen? It's just what we're going to do. We are going to see our eternal King. And the only thing we can offer him is who we bring. Yeah. That was a good one-liner. You need to remember. We are going to see our eternal King, and the only thing we can offer him is who we bring. Amen? So I want to make his life and his death matter, don't you? And so we only have one life to give. We have to make it count. We have to be resolute in our love, and we have to be unshakable, and then we'll be successful at representing him well. So set your eyes on the prize and let him give you the desires of our heart. Now, I want you just to bow your head for one moment. Don't be looking around because it makes everybody feel creepy. Okay, so I'm the pastor, and I'm going to look across this congregation, and I'm asking you if you need to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, or maybe you don't know him the way that these people are talking about as personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you want to know him for the first time, or maybe you want to know him at a deeper level, if you are here and you want prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so we can pray. And I'll know. Okay, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. Okay. So let's pray, church. So we come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, thanking you for his sacrifice. I recognize that my life doesn't always display you properly. So I'm asking you to forgive me and set me on the right path again. You said that if I ask you to forgive my sins, you would forgive me and you would cover them over. And so today, I am free from my past and I'm moving on purpose into the purposes that you have made for me. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hosanna to the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, Farrell, you're up. Amen?
Amen.
Are you excited? Do we have to plan it for you to go to a parking lot, or could you actually be Jesus to somebody in any parking lot? At any time, any day. Amen? Be Jesus to somebody.
I mean, you can practice when we leave today. We have a parking lot. Try to be Christian to everybody around you. If I back out in front of you, just wave and say, I have grace for that. This is what Danielle and I do quite often on Florida streets. We just smile and say, we have grace for that. Oh. Try doing that when you're getting... cut off on the highway and see what happens. Yeah. So, Frank, don't forget to call my company for that guy, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think we may be hiring some engineers. So, sorry, I got to take care of some business here. I want to say that before I forget. But I also did it because I want to demonstrate what body working together can actually accomplish. So if he doesn't have the connections, I may have the connections for that engineer. So, because I also work for a forensics engineering company.
That is so weird.
One of Tears' favorite thing about me. All right. Enough of the shenanigans. Let's do the announcements. All right. This week, we have prayer opportunities again on Tuesday and on Friday. Tuesday, 5:30 to 6:30, and Friday from 10 a.m. to whenever they end. So avail yourself of those opportunities if you have a chance, if you are open to do so. On Wednesday, 7:30, come join us. We never know what we're going to do. I will guarantee you it will involve worship, it will involve prayer, and it will involve the Word. So if you get those three things, then that's pretty good. So I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights and participate. Friday, 7:30, is Limitless Youth. Is this fourth Friday? No, not yet. See, I'm still wanting to plug your... of course, it's not fourth Friday. It's only like... Where am I? Okay. Okay, good. Whew. Praise the Lord. Maybe I need to take communion. Everybody turn and look at the camera back there. Say, hi, hola.
Hi, hola.
We're praying for you.
Praying for you.
I went and visited him this morning before coming to church. He is doing very well. His some moving parts are happening. He's... those who do not know, he had some type of episode. They're still trying to figure out what it is, and it caused him to be paralyzed on his right hand, his right side. But he moved his leg for me today, and I was very excited about that. So he's like, prayer's working, and he's like, I am believing that by next Sunday I will be able to be at church and give my testimony. So. Yeah, that's faith talk. He is fully in faith and believing God for that to happen. And so just let's greet together with that for him. Amen? All right. Further announcements. Next Sunday is then, of course, Easter Sunday. So make sure that you bring all your friends and families and even your enemies. Bring them all. We want all of them. Come, bring them all in, and we're going to have a great time, and we're going to do an egg hunt afterwards, and we're going to have a food truck, and I'm probably going to try to order some of those nachos because they looked amazing last year. So come with money, come with friends, come with enemies. Just do all of that, all right? And we're going to have a great time next Easter as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? All right, the Sunday after that, we're going to do a water baptism for all your friends and enemies that got saved. We're going to baptize them, and we're going to have a luncheon. And so that's going to be amazing. If you have not been water baptized, or if you want to get water baptized, or if you know someone who needs to get water baptized, then we have a sign-up sheet at the information center. Sign up today before you leave so that we can kind of get an idea of how many people are going to be baptized as of right now. Of course, we're going to add about 20 to that after next Sunday's service. Amen? Right, everyone? Amen? All right. Also, I want you to remind you that several Sundays back, which Danielle and I missed this Sunday, but remember when you all broke up into your smart tables and you were all talking really smart with each other? So we have compiled all of those ideas that you had and the things that you talked about, your personal mission and intentional reaching out and discipling other people. We've got all of that stuff written down. We're praying over that. We're talking about that, and we're going over it. And I hope that you are still praying over that yourselves, because that was not just something that we did a couple weeks ago so that we could have something different to do on a Sunday morning. There is an assignment by the Spirit for us to get out into this world and disciple this world for Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you to pull those sheets out again and start praying over them. We are praying over how to help you strategically engage in those missional assignments. And so if you will just continue to pray over them, continue to think about them, open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak to you. We're doing the same thing. And probably within the next month, we're going to be able to come together again and maybe provide you with some strategies on how you can move forward in that discipling, intentional discipleship thing that you wrote out on your piece of paper. Okay? Can you do that with me? Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. So now it's offering time. Can we just do it one more time? Only this time, can you like wave your palm fronds just because I want to do it? All right, so it's offering time. Hey, there you go. thank you for that, everyone. That was just for me. That was for Jesus too. All right, so as I was considering the offering this morning, I went to an odd scripture verse, which. We read that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? So wherever we speak what Jesus has done, it gives him an atmosphere in which to do it again. All right. Verses 9 and 10, I want us to read this scripture verse with that Revelation 19:10 in mind. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So today, Palm Sunday, we think about Jesus and the crowds that he came, that he received when he came into Jerusalem on that day. And so I wanted to talk about this because here the Bible says that if we honor the Lord with our possessions, then he is going to bless us. And so in honor of a day of honor, I want us to give with the heart of honoring him with the first fruits of our possessions. And that means our tithes are 10% of what he has given us. We are going to honor him with that. And the reason why I want you to hear the verse of Revelation 19, verse 10 first is that here it says that if we will do this, then God is going to do something. If we will honor him with our possessions by giving him our first fruits, then he is going to fill our bank accounts with what needs to be in there. Okay? And so our honoring him, this is why I want you to get. Our honoring God through our giving invites him to bless us again. So when you give today, know that as you give in honor, that you are actually saying, God, I love you. You're doing two things. You're accomplishing two things. You're honoring him. You're saying, God, I love you. Thank you for supplying our needs. And then the second thing you're doing, you're opening up an invitation for him to honor you again or to bless you again. So, Father, we just thank you that you have given to us so above and beyond what we could ask or think. And we so appreciate that. And so, Lord, in response, we honor you by giving you the 10% that you ask and above, and giving you an offering. And Lord, we know that as we do, that we are inviting you to come and bless us again and again so that we can continue to honor you and bless those that are around us in Jesus' name. So, ushers, if you could wait on the people.
While they're doing that, I want to tell you that on Easy Tithe, one of the things on Easy, how many of you give through Easy Tithe? It doesn't go through? Does it say can't? Okay, so when you say give now, it'll show up and it'll look like this, and it says give now. So you give now. It's a little confusing, so that's why I'm explaining this. So then you can pick the fund that you want to give to. You can do tithes and offerings, benevolence, building fund, special speakers, first fruit offerings that we're still giving, some of us. You know, the collective, which is the young adults, the Kingsmen, the Ladies of Liberty, you can give. Okay. So then you pick your fund. So say that I pick the ladies. And so if I pick the ladies and I want to give $25 towards the ladies, I put in that amount. And then it asks you what you want to give by. So whatever you've put in there as your, I have two, four, I have six cards in there. Don't ask me why, because I only use one. But when I hit submit, and this is what happens. Open an Easy Tithe, and it says cancel or open. You're already done. I don't know why it says this, because it's just to freak you out. iPhones. Do you have an iPhone? Okay, only iPhones. Ah, yes. So, okay, well, all right. So if you say cancel, nothing happens. You don't have to open it. You don't have to cancel it. You can just go, you can say cancel and it'll go away. Or you can set up reoccurring tithing that happens automatically and you don't have to do this. Every time you see I give automatically, but every Sunday when you see me doing this, it's because I'm giving extra. Because I, first of all, pay tithes above 10%, and second of all, I give offerings. So for every time that I have an opportunity to give an offering, I give an offering on purpose. because he offered everything. I'm offering back to him. So that's how the blessings will overflow and overtake me so that I won't be able to contain it. And I'm waiting for me not to be able to contain it. Amen? Okay, so I'm believing God on that. Okay, so you can set it up. If you have a problem, you can call us and we will walk you through it. I just know that this is the most convenient way and this is what we use the most. You can still give cash. You can still write a check. You can use text. I've never used text, but I guess that works. A lot of people like to do it text online. And so, but I do know there's a difference between doing it on your iPhone and doing it on a, what else? Android. Okay, Android. People that have them love them. I don't know. I always had an iPhone. All right. Okay, anything else? Any other announcements? Bring everybody next week, okay? Bring everybody next week. Let's pack out the house, but let's pray in advance and ask for divine connections. How many love the divine connection testimonies? Okay. And so thank you all for the part that you played, whatever your part was this week. And don't forget, just because Liberty is not organizing this week for you, you have to be proactive in organizing your week to include sharing Jesus. Yes, Jessica. Oh. Okay. It's all right. If it's green, it's on.
I just want to remind the young adults are going out Wednesday.
Oh, good.
To the food trucks again. I went Wednesday.
Okay.
With a couple other people that came out. Oh, my gosh. I have amazing stories for that night. It was powerful. I will tell
us
you.
One.
Oh, my gosh. So.
Okay. It's only 10 after. Tell us one.
I know. Okay. I'll tell you three way quick. One lady had a heart glasses on. I had heart glasses on. I looked at her from far away. I was like, oh, my gosh. She's like, oh, my gosh. I was like, I love you. I love you. We gave each other a hug. And I'm like, God loves you, too. Here's a card. Come to church. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Another I love hearts, case
hearts,
if you don't
yes.
know. Another guy, he was sitting on the sidewalk, and he looked so sad. I was like, where's your smile at?
Oh,
and
good.
I just started praying with him, and his girl came by. I started praying for both of them, and the funny thing is when I was praying for them, they were laughing while I was praying, which means I got something in their
yes.
spot that God knew about.
You know Amen. What I
mean? There's other stories, but the one I just touched my heart the most was on my way out. I was going through the parking lot. It's funny we're talking about parking lots. I was on my way to the car because I was fixing to leave. But I saw three kids and two ladies in the middle of the parking lot. They were just talking, getting things together. And these kids were like 8 and under, right? There was two girls and a boy. And I was like, hey, I'm inviting people Aww. Out to church on Easter Sunday. And one of the older girls, she's like, oh, Easter egg hunt. Yes, Mom, we have to go.
There you go.
She was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh, yes, you have to go. She's like, no, we have to go, Mom. Like, we have to go.
Oh, so that's then, awesome.
I was like, yes, it's awesome. Our church is having Easter egg hunt. There'll be food trucks out there. And I was like, hey, guys. And I looked at the moms. I was like, can I ask them if they want prayer? She's like, yeah, sure. I was like, all right, you guys need prayer for anything? And one's like, yeah, I need prayer for my reading, and I need prayer for my math. And the other one was like, I want this gift. And I don't remember what it was. And her mom's like, you can't ask for gifts. I'm like, why not? Let's ask for it. So
Amen.
I ended up at the end. I told them, all right, guys, let's hold hands. All of us in the parking lot in a circle, there were six
parking
of us,
lots.
Three, four, five, mm-hmm. there were six of us. We all held hands and prayed together. And I said, let's pray out loud. And they copied me on the prayer.
Awesome.
And I was just asking God, you know, thank you for being in our hearts. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for protecting us, giving us peace. And then at the end, I was, you know, she's like, oh, I love your earrings. I love your toes. I was like, yeah, girl, I got hearts everywhere. And she's like, oh, I love it. I was like, well, here's a card, you guys. She goes, can I invite my friends? I was like, girl, yeah, please. Here, get some friends. And then the other kids, me too. I'm like, okay. And then the little boy was like, of course I want to invite my friends. I was like, okay, fine, here. So I gave them flyers too. And then I was like, when you guys come to church, you come look for me, okay? It's Jessica, Jesse, Jess, whatever. She goes, don't worry. I'll tell them the one with the hearts, okay?
Awesome.
But yeah, Wednesday was amazing. So I'm going out from 6 to 8, I think it is. If you guys want to join me, we commit lifts, and it was packed.
Awesome.
I will tell you, and it was one encounter after the other. And we're talking about discipleship. I'll tell you real quick. We're talking about discipleship and trying to disciple people, and a coworker of mine was there.
Awesome.
With a girl that's 14 years old, which is her neighbor. What is the odds of this happening?
See?
That I was able to pray with her, and she's going through things at her house.
Yeah.
And at work, it's hard for us to talk, you know,
right?
Because of what's happening. But that's a divine appointment for discipleship, because
yes,
it's
it
a
is.
Co-worker as well.
So amen. Amen. Let's give God a good hand clap. Thank you, Jesus.